You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
It was May of 1978, that's why I always get it wrong, 79, on a big day, got both those families, isn't it something, sitting in the second row and five rows back. That is wonderful, that's great. I appreciate you being here tonight. Teenagers, the kids are in their program, but you've had a long day. How many had to get up earlier than the Christmas break this morning? How many are ready to go home to go to bed? Most of you. You've had a long day of school and then immediately out soul winning today and then dinner tonight and then now right here at church. I promise you for your sake, I'll just keep us 2.5 hours tonight and I'll get with it. And then Brother and Mrs. Johnson are here. They're going back home to North Carolina. Well, they are home. There are kids here, but they're going back to Jeremy Coburn, that's where they serve the Lord there. And Grace, it's good to have you back home. And of course, Brother Johnson, one of our graduates as well. And I thank the Lord for you and other folks that are visiting. Thank you for being here. I'm a little bit intimidated with Brother Bowser here because this is not a deep Bible study tonight. But I was going to try to snow my people to think it was really deep, but it's not deep at all. So Brother Bertram, I'm going to ask you to come and speak tonight so we can impress him how smart we are around here. And Brother Martinez, you did such a good job a week ago here. My wife and I sat here. Brother Fanera, everybody. You know, I preach for Sunday. I really don't preach the Christmas story that often. But I preach morning and night the Christmas story. And then all these staff members that followed after me all preached the Christmas story. It's like, did I not do a good job on that, fellas, or something? And it's tough because my wife said, wow, wasn't that great? No, it wasn't that good. I mean, what do you mean wasn't that great? And all of those messages have been great. I was telling the staff today, we're having a meeting. I think it'd be awesome to write a book together with the pastors here and our staff on the Christmas story. We'd all have a different take on that story. There's something... God's word, you can assign a text to 10 guys that all come up with 10 different messages. That's the power of the word of God. Joyce, this is your last Wednesday, going back to school. And Samuel, saw you up in the orchestra, going back to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, a member of Brother Brockman's church. But don't get liking that too much. You're coming back home. You tell Uncle Sam where you're going to be stationed after school. That'd be wonderful. Well, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for these wonderful, wonderful people. And I pray your blessing upon these few moments of looking at the Word of God as I'm really trying to get us concerned about these 365 days of this year. Help me to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. There are 363 days left. We've already spent two. Those days are filled with potential. But December 31st, you're going to look back and you're going to see what you did with those 365 days. So will I. I hope you do what I do. I pull my calendar out and I rehearse everything that took place, normally around Thanksgiving time and then certainly around Christmas time and definitely right after Christmas. I look at the places I've preached and the places I've gone and the special events we've had here and the special days we have. And I look at my calendar, what took place, and I look at perhaps wasted days. I don't want to waste it. I don't have time to waste. I cannot waste any time. And I want my days to count for God. In these 63 days that are ahead of us, it may be the rapture. It may be the rapture. Maybe today my Lord would come for me. It may be in for some that undoubtedly even in this room, I hate the thought of this. It might be your homegoing year or my homegoing year. I don't know, but I will guarantee it, there'll be some caskets here this year. There always are. And they're there always as a surprise. I don't know if it'll be the rapture or death. I don't know if it'll be sickness. I promise you, and I don't like this, but there'll be some that will say, I want you to pray for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. The doctor says they have cancer. They have MS. They're diabetic. It happens every year. There'll be some that will face the sorrows of your life. That song, the things you gave your life to, fell apart. It might be that you dedicate your life to your children, sons and daughters, and somewhere along the line, they may, as adults, reject going to God's house. That's probably the hardest thing in staying at a church as long as my wife and I have, because so many of the people that have stayed with us through the years, they have so many heartaches. It's just part of life. It might be, and I don't want this, and I don't mean to be negative, it might be a divorce this year, or your son divorces, or what the world calls an affair, adultery. In these 365 days this year, some of you are going to have the biggest, happiest moments of your life. You're going to hold a baby, your firstborn, or whatever it might be. You're going to hold a baby, and it's just going to be so wonderful. I can remember our kids were all born at home. And I can remember the birth of all three of them so vividly in our home. It's quite an amazing thing to help a midwife and there to deliver personally all three of our kids. All the joy of holding Tiffany in my arms and telling her at 4:30 in the morning on the living room couch, Tiffany, you're so beautiful. But I want to tell you something, honey. You're a sinner. You're going to have to get saved. And I literally, out loud, went through the Romans road of salvation with her. Very obvious I missed it with Tim and Tabitha, but I at least went through it with her. And all of our kids, oh, the joy of having children. And then the joy of first day at school, that's going to be this year for some of you. Our kindergarten graduation, our eighth grade graduation, our high school graduation, our college graduation, or some of you are going to watch your kids come down this aisle, go out that aisle, and be married at this church. There's going to be some exciting things. There's going to be weddings, and there's going to be some young men that sit down here, come down and say, weeping, God's called me to serve him. And a deacon or someone will pray with you right here. And we'll read your name, so-and-so believes God's calling him to the work of the ministry. It's going to be, these 365 are going to be great. I can hardly wait. I'm so excited about it. But I want you to know that in the book of Genesis, which is the book of beginnings, and here we are on January 2nd, we're at the beginning of a new year. I want you to see Genesis 1:1. Would you read that with me, please? Genesis 1:1. Ready? Begin.
In the beginning, God created.
In the beginning, in the Genesis. If something is Genesis, you see that name. And there are companies that are Genesis company. Gen, J-E-N, generally is the beginning. And so the word Genesis is the beginning. Are the first here. In the beginning, God created. That you're going to see in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, life. He's going to create the differentiate between light and dark, and then a firmament, and then the sun, the moon, the stars. He's going to create fish and cattle and creeping things. He's going to create the ultimate. He saved best for last man, and he saved the best after that, as he took from Adam a rib and made woman. It's all beginning. But I want you to keep your hand here and go to the very last verse in Genesis. Chapter 50 and verse number 26. We have beginnings, we have life, but I want you to notice how it all ends. Verse 26, let's read it together, shall we? Ready? Begin. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him in his sleep. In verse 1, we have creation. In the last verse, we have a coffin. And that's what life is all about. We have a beginning and we have an end. I want you to see, secondly, not only is there a beginning and an end, there's life and there's death, there's creation and there's a coffin, using these verses. I want you to realize that between chapter 1 and chapter 50, there's opportunity. There's not simply life and death, but between there, chapter 2 through 49, actually chapter 50, between those two, there's opportunity. And this year, you and I are going to have to seize those opportunities. I have to seize those opportunities. As you know, Ms. Treatman and I left last Friday afternoon, and we left here, and I had just such a desire. My wife said it'd be great to go to Santa Maria where my parents are laid to rest. My dad's coming up on 2 years in March, and my mother would be 3 years in March, 4 years, excuse me, in March. And all, basically, the family's moved away from that city, and they're just out in that cemetery. So I took things to clean the marker, and in a beautiful little cemetery. It's just beautiful. And we went out there, and it's an amazing thing. We spent time at their marker and saw their picture and saw the date of their birth, and we saw the date of their death. And my wife did what I do in all these cemeteries when I walk out here to go pray, and I always stop by your loved ones' markers. But I always like to look at the different markers. The little girl, the stewardess that was on flight 93 on 9/11, is buried right here by many of your loved ones, right by your dad and by your dad, and several of our members that are buried, and by your parents, Brother Scott, as well. And there's her marker. And there's so many that are out there. Edward's marker is right there in that same vicinity. And your sisters are out there in that same area. My wife and I were walking, and she said, look at this boy lived 15 years. Look at this boy lived 19. Look at this boy lived 7 years. And I don't know what about those markers. I like to read the markers. My parents' marker says John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall have everlasting life. The marker on the next aisle over, exactly, is the same marker as my parents. Different people and the same verse, but it's in Spanish. John 11:25. You know, the day of a person's birth and the coffin, really, this is okay. This is important. We celebrate it once a year. And this is okay as we think if a person's saved, they're with the Lord and there's a memory. But it's this thing in the middle. The poet called it the dash. And what you do with the dash between this date and this date is going to cause the difference for your family to say, my dad, my mother, my sister, my brother, they filled their life with righteousness and goodness. I don't remember the day of my mother and dad's birth. They were born before me. 1923, 1924. My dad first and my mother the next year in January. I don't know about their birth. I do remember the day of their death. Same room, same bed, same spot, right there, almost exactly 2 years apart. But I will tell you this, they filled their life with so much wonderful things. Here you have your dash. What are you going to fill it with? Can I tell you what this church needs right now? We need about 20 more bus drivers. For shuttle buses, for the vans, for the Sunday school buses, shuttle buses, Sunday school, Sunday morning, after service, Sunday evening, before church, after church, Wednesday night, before church, after church. We need drivers. We could use about 40 to 50 drivers a week in the ministry here. We'll pay for your health exam. We'll pay for the license. You have to take the test. We need drivers. I would hope that every service in 2019, someone would walk forward and say, it's serving the Lord and God is speaking to my heart. Here it's February the 10th, but God's been dealing with me. I need to say yes. Here it is January the 2nd. I'm coming forward tonight, the first Wednesday night, saying I probably should drive a bus. I'm talking about counselors at the altar. I'm talking about baptistry workers and bus captains and financial opportunities. Only one life. Dr. Smith, the great preacher up in Canada, only one life, he wrote, 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. What are you doing with the little dash in the middle? The poet said it this way. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of the birth and spoke of the following date with tears. What he said mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For the dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our little dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you'll never know how much time is left. It still can be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things that they say, how you lived your little dash? This little dash, I'm telling you here as your pastor, I have some regrets in that dash with me. Some disappointments with me. Some frustrations with me. Some days I wish I could have some do-overs with me. But maybe I can rearrange some things as it said here. And maybe you can. And maybe as we get closer to the day that God takes us home by way of rapture or by way of death, we can say, I spent my last year serving God. My last 365 days, I gave it everything I had. Spent a couple months. I've not talked about my parents. My wife and I talk. And I agree, I talk too much about them. One reason I do, especially my dad, is so that I get your kids to learn to love your parents, love their parents. I don't have a lot of regrets how I treated my parents. Those last 10 years or late 8 years when they were away from us was so hard. I was their pastor for 33 years. But I would say this. I would say that I don't want your kids to have regrets, but I had such an example. Oh, those last days when everything wasn't connecting, and my dad looked at me one day and said, "Who are you?" And I said, "You know who I am because you're my doctor." But most of the time, he could at least get it back. And the last recording in my phone, it says, "Son, I love you." And the last song is my wife and him singing, "In the sweet by and by." The last couple years, he was bound to the bed in a wheelchair, and they couldn't go to church the last 2 years. But all the way up till that, he was in the choir. And Sunday school, and Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and tithing. We went by their church, just drove by on Saturday to see where they went to church. And I saw something out front of the church, and my mother and dad gave the funds to get that taken care of. It will mean nothing. New people in that church, they won't even know, but I know. I want to say this little dash. We have life created and life in a coffin. We have opportunities from chapter 2 to chapter 49. I find that chapter 1, 2, and 3, I find there's paradise. What was the last word in chapter 50, verse 26? What's the last word of Genesis? What's the last word? What country is it? Egypt. Egypt is the type of the world. God created everything that they could have a paradise, and they wound up with a problem. God made it such that it was beautiful, it was good, it was perfect, and man messed it up, and he winds up in a polluted place called Egypt. I find the fifth thing, the fourth thing, chapter 50, verse 26, the first three words, "And Joseph died." When a person dies, it means the race is over. Brother Sean Jackson, that means they don't sing solos anymore. Thank you for that song. Young teenagers, no more trios. Our service is over. Our race is over. Our tithing is over. Our investment is over. Turn with me to Genesis 5, and I know I have to be done here in a few moments. Please turn to 5. You would not know the man. Dr. Arnold Winogur pastored over here at Hamilton Square Baptist Church in San Francisco. Beautiful building on Van Nuys, just off of Van Nuys. Beautiful, beautiful building. His brother, Dr. Archer Winogur, pastored on the other side, Foothill Baptist Church in Oakland. Those two men were real powerhouses for old-time religion, fundamentalism. They were incredible brothers. If Dr. Arnold would have lived till January 12th, 10 more days, he would have been 112 years old. So when I was a boy, I'd watch those men. I watched them when they bought Lucerne Christian Conference Center with the San Francisco Theological Seminary that they began that in 1958. Just an amazing thing. We had all over the Bay Area, we had churches. Most of those churches are all gone now. And the college, if you went to Tennessee Temple, or you went to Bob Jones, or you went to Pillsbury, those were about the three schools. A couple GRB schools, Western and LABC. After 4 years, you go to seminary. And basically, the only seminary was San Francisco Theological Seminary. It was never a big school, but there were men that already had a four-year diploma from Bible college. They had about 70, 80, sometimes I think 90 students. Those men would spread out over the weekend to these churches. They'd go to Manor Baptist. They'd go to our Calvary Baptist, and Calvary Baptist in Frisco, and Foothill Baptist, and they'd go to Hamilton Square Baptist, and they'd go to these churches around here that were of like faith and practice. They'd go to Saratoga Baptist. It used to be a strong church over there. And they'd come and they'd work in those churches. And I remember many would come. It was just an exciting time. Dr. Winogur had now retired from pastoring that church at 76 years of age. He was here. I said, Dr. Arnold, I want you to come. It's your birthday. And I want you to preach for us. It was January the 12th, 1983. And he preached that Wednesday night. I don't know if he'd been preaching much anymore at that time. He was 83 years of age. I remember that Wednesday night because he took chapter 5. Here's a 76-year-old man, and he says, the book of the generation of Adam, in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he them, male and female. Verse 5, he read all that, and then he got to verse 5. What's the last three words, church? Ready, begin. And he died. And then he read about Seth in verse 6 and 7 and 8. And what's the last three words in verse 8? And he read all the scripture. And then in verse 11, what's the last three words? And verse 14, ready? And he died. Verse 17, and he died. How about verse 20? And he died. Verse 27, and he died. And how about verse 31? And he died. And he was relating to us that our life, James 4, is but a vapor. It appears for a moment, vanished away. You better drive the bus while you have an opportunity. My dad will never, those old days of his life, last years, he could have never driven a bus. He was a mechanic on the buses at one time years ago. I remember in the 60s, early 50s, mid-50s working on buses. But there came a point he could not do that. And there came a point he could not get to a choir loft. And it came to a point he could not sing a solo anymore. And there came a point where he could not even get out of bed because our life is but a vapor. Someone said to me recently, they said, man, I'm only in my 60s and my knees and my hips are killing me. I've had so many stories like this last year and it dawned on me. God's word says in Psalm 90, you're to live to be about 70. So apparently the joints that God put in our body, unless you have a special oil to put on, yes. If you want to sleep, you get lavender oil. You put it under your big toe. I'm having a good time, aren't I? My wife is a believer. She'll come, she'll go, put your toe out here. I'm going to put some of this lavender on. I said, go ahead. I'm up all night still, but I'm having a good time. The smell real sweet. I'm talking about the fact that our life is just a vapor. Let me close. There's a start and there's a finish. There's a start and there's a finish. I wonder what you'll start this year. Miss Treber and I got married on December 23rd, 1972. And on that Saturday night, we literally got in that 67 Ford. I know. But we drove to Elgin from Rockford. It's as far as we could go. My car was just sort of, it was just like I was getting no fuel. It just, I said, I'm going to get off the road. We trained these boys how to have a honeymoon. I had no idea. Here's what we did. We opened up envelopes on the way. And I said, wow, this is good. She goes, this is a check. I said, that's not good. We need cash. We stayed at a Holiday Inn. I want to say it was $11. It's an interesting thing. It's Providence Baptist College now owns that building. But we stayed that Saturday night. We went to church in Hammond on Sunday night. I'll never forget that night. It's the old little building. They had about 2,000 in church on the morning. And Jack Hiles said, over here we have a young couple. God bless you. Just got married last night. You're in church tonight. It's the way it ought to be. I said, how did he know? How did he know? And it went on and on. And he said, and he called the name of the couple right in front of us to stand. They just got married last night. They're in church tonight. God bless them. It wasn't us. Thank God we didn't stand. That was the 24th, Christmas Eve. And we were out of money. And so the next day, on Christmas Day, we went back home. And then on the 26th of December, I'd already been working in the ministry, but not as a couple, as far as husband and wife. I began full-time in the ministry, December 26th. I don't have any regrets with God. I really don't have regrets with God's people. I have disappointments with me. But I tell you what, this thing of serving God, this theme this year, I love the fact that in 1976, in February, God's people let me come here. Those 20 people, I'll never forget it. I preached more in one day than I preached my whole life. I'll never forget it. And you know, I don't have any disappointment. Some of you parents, you're raising, you have a person in your house, a boy, that God has his hand on his life. God has his hand on your son's life. And if you're not careful, you're going to say, I don't want him in the ministry. I want him to be successful. I'll need him one day. I need his money one day. I need him to take care of me one day. I've told our kids that if I get old and mom's gone, I said, I'm going to go hide out in a rest home in Nebraska, away from all of you, so I don't have to put a heavy burden on your life. Oh, that angers Tabitha. Tim's okay with it, and Ryan's okay with it, but not Tabitha. And I said, I'm not going to be a burden on you kids. But it's just a vapor, just a window we have. Our church, when I got here, we started renting a little building on Clyde Avenue. We own the property now. And one day on Saturday, the realtors were bringing people through there after I just got here. I said, what are you doing? They said, they're selling the building, the people that own this building. Another church, a large church. Thousands of people came. The pastor was the first syndicated radio preacher in California. The man that was the pastor was led to Christ from a lady out of my church. And we started our church in Fremont in a barn. She led him to Christ. He became a very famous pastor, CBA pastor, Conservative Baptist pastor. At church, I remember when they had a big building downtown, it burned. And they moved up on the hill. Beautiful property, beautiful buildings. Amazing ministry. Amazing preacher. My dad knew him well. But it's an amazing thing, as he got older and his wife died, he was over here in a rest home all by himself. And the night he died, he was by himself. We know about our birth, and we know that some way 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, we're going to have a death. But we're not sure of that. We just think that. We've got this dash.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.